Chairman and members of the House Committee, thank you for the invitation to address you today. I regret that I cannot be here in person, but I hope that this recorded testimony will be of interest and use for you at this hearing. This is the 50th anniversary of NASA. It has achieved major advances in science, as well as great improvements in technology. I want to celebrate that, and to argue for the continuation and extension of the space program. Why should we go into space? What is the justification for spending all that effort and money on getting a few lumps of moon rock? Aren't there better causes here on Earth? In a way, the situation is like that in Europe before 1492. People might well have argued that it was a waste of money to send Columbus on a wild goose chase. Yet the discovery of the New World made a profound difference to the old. Just think, we wouldn't have KFC or the Big Mac. Space exploration will have an even greater effect on us. It could completely change the future of the human race, and could determine whether we have a future at all. It may not solve all of our immediate problems on planet Earth, but it will give us a new perspective on them, as well as giving us more information on some of the challenges we face, such as climate change. Going into space is not cheap, but it takes only a small proportion of world resources. NASA's budget has remained roughly constant in real terms since the time of the Apollo landings, but it has decreased from 4% of the federal budget in 1970 to 0.6% now. Even if we were to increase the international budget 20 times to make a serious effort to go into space, it would be only a small fraction of world GDP. Still, there will be those who argue that it would be better to solve the problems of this planet, like climate change and pollution, rather than heading out across the cosmos in search of a new world. In my view, we need to do both. The space program has an important role to play in protecting the planet on which we live. It allows us to look back at the Earth from space, providing vital information to world leaders about climate change and cross-border environmental problems, such as shrinking polar ice caps, deforestation, and desertification. NASA has about 50 active space missions in orbit at the moment, looking both inward and outward. They supply us with information, not just about other worlds out there in the solar system, they also show us the impact mankind is having on the delicate ecosystem of the Earth. So we can go out and explore space, but we can also look back from space and learn more about our own planet and how to protect it. This will have a great impact on our future, both on this planet and out in space. Isn't our future worth a fraction of a percent? We thought space was worth a big effort in the 60s. In 1961, President Kennedy committed the US to landing a man on the moon by the end of the decade, which was achieved with Apollo 11 in 1969. The space race helped to create a fascination with science and led to great advances in technology, including the first large-scale integrated circuits, which are the basis of all modern computers. However, after the last moon landing in 1972, with no future plans for further manned spaceflight, public interest in space declined. This went along with a general disenchantment with science in the West, because although it had brought great benefits, it had not solved the social problems that increasingly occupied public attention. A new manned spaceflight program would do a lot to restore public enthusiasm for space, and for science generally. Robotic spaceflight is currently preparing the way for human exploration of other planets in the solar system. The Phoenix Mars lander, which successfully touched down on Mars on 25th May of this year, has already provided visual evidence of water on Mars. Soon, we hope it will send us chemical evidence of the presence of water. From Earth, we know that where there is water, however hot or cold the temperature, there is life. Finding water on Mars would also mean that a future Mars colony could use it as a source of oxygen. It is the first step to spreading the human race out into space, which I'm arguing has to be our long-term aim. A goal of a base on the moon by 2020, and of a manned landing on Mars by 2030, the two most suitable sites for space colonies in the solar system, would reignite the space program, and give it a sense of purpose. A new interest in space would also increase the public standing of science generally, in the same way that President Kennedy's moon target did in the 1960s. The low esteem in which science and scientists are held is having serious consequences. We live in a society that is increasingly governed by science and technology, yet fewer and fewer young people want to go into science. This matters greatly to all our futures. The children of today are the adults of tomorrow, and they will need an understanding of science if they are to make the decisions which will affect us all. It is vital that we inspire them to take an interest in science. At present, we cannot travel very far across our solar neighborhood, but we are gaining knowledge about what lies beyond, thanks to space telescopes such as Hubble, and the recently launched Gamma-ray Large Area Space Telescope. This telescope will allow us to explore the high-energy world of phenomena which emit gamma-ray radiation, and will help us to answer questions such as how black holes can accelerate jets of gas outward at incredible speeds. Physicists will be able to study subatomic particles at energies far greater than those seen in ground-based particle accelerators. And cosmologists will gain valuable information about the birth and early evolution of the universe. There are other important scientific missions, but it would be too much to list them all. What about finding new planets beyond the solar system? Our observations indicate that a reasonable fraction of stars have planets around them. So far, we can detect only giant planets, like Jupiter and Saturn, but it is reasonable to assume that they will be accompanied by smaller, Earth-like planets. Some of these will lie in the Goldilocks zone, where the distance from the star is in the right range for liquid water to exist on their surface. There are maybe 1,000 stars within 20 light years of Earth. If 1% of these have an Earth-sized planet in the Goldilocks zone, we have 10 candidate new worlds. We can envisage visiting them with current technology, but we should make interstellar travel a long-term aim. By long-term, I mean over the next 200 to 500 years. The human race has existed as a separate species for about 2 million years. Civilization began about 10,000 years ago, and the rate of development has been steadily increasing. We have now reached the stage when we can boldly go where no one has been before. Thank you for listening.